Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 19th. Happy primary election day. We will have in-depth coverage and analysis on how Wisconsin votes today, tomorrow on this program. Different guests and plenty of opportunity for you to react, to celebrate, or to fret, depending on what the case may be, between 6 and 9 tomorrow morning. This hour, we're going to wonder about the future of the newspaper. Do you still get a copy of your hometown paper delivered to your home? Or maybe a copy of a national newspaper like the New York Times? Maybe you've already ventured out in the cold and picked up your morning paper from your driveway. It's open on the table as you drink your coffee and listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Or maybe not. Maybe you don't depend on a daily paper anymore, at least not one that's delivered to your home. Have you found yourself getting more and more of your news from the online versions of newspapers? Is the printed newspaper, as we know it, going out of business? Or is that obituary premature? We will examine the future of the newspaper this hour following the recent announcement that a Madison afternoon daily, the Capital Times, will be ceasing its daily printed publication in the spring and will concentrate on its online presence instead. Also, late last week, the New York Times reported it plans to cut 100 jobs to deal with declining revenue. This while readership of the Times online is increasing. So is the future of the newspaper on the web? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. That's toll free from wherever you're listening. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also reach us online. WPR.org. You can send an email with your question or comment, WPR.org. That's our website. What's wrong with me? It's talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. We will talk this hour with Jim Boffman, professor and director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. We will also hear this hour from a guest from the Capital Times and a guest from the Wisconsin Newspaper Association as we go along. And we want to hear from you, too. Professor Boffman joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So is the future of the newspaper online?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Certainly a lot of it is. I don't know if the print newspaper is going to go away altogether.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guesswork going on right now, and that's why it's too early in the morning not to be honest with you.
Well, I'm glad that you are. I mean, a lot of people, when they heard about the Capital Times decision, the Madison area anyway, were kind of, shocked and saddened, and they wanted that paper that they could hold in their hands.
Right. Well, I was saddened about it just because the school has many ties to the Capital Times, but as to the question of will the newspaper move online, that to me is a separate issue that's harder to it's harder to know for certain.
Yeah. Well, it is, though, not just the Capital Times. I know there are unique circumstances with the Capital Times in Madison, but
right.
The trend is that newspapers are seeing declines in their home delivery subscriptions?
Absolutely. Really, in the last 5 to 10 years, I think it's accelerated as more and more homes received internet connections and high-speed internet connections, and frankly, there's a generational split that's pretty serious that I don't think any of us quite saw coming, say 10 years ago.
The oldsters like us want the printed version, and younger people want to go online,
or not look at the paper at all.
Hmm. And then we also saw an article in the New York Times late last week that it's going to cut some 100 jobs, saying that readership online was going up, but I guess not revenue for the printed version.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and that same thing going on there?
Well, the Times, there may be some very quiet pressure from potential investors that's making the Times a little nervous, causing it to be behaving in that way. It's hard to read what might be driving that particular action. But newspapers all over the country are trying to cut their labor costs, so I think again, there's a lot of guesswork right now. If I sound tentative, I think that's part of what's happening right now. The one thing the newspapers can control are operating costs.
Yeah. We're talking with Jim Boffman. He's a professor, and he's also the director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, talking about the state of newspapers today and the future of newspapers. Is it going online? Is the paper version of the newspaper going out of business? Well, welcome your thoughts and questions. And after the weather break, we will also welcome in the editor emeritus of the Capital Times, Dave Zweifel. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your reaction to the news that one of Wisconsin's newspapers is going to be going primarily online and ceasing publication of a daily, anyway, printed version. And looking at whether or not this is a trend. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio at 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this primary election day, Tuesday, February the 19th. We'll have news updates on the election results tonight on Wisconsin Public Radio after the polls close, and we will have 3 full hours of reaction and analysis to the election results tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 on this program tomorrow, plus some of Kathleen Dunn's program tomorrow and Talk of the Nation and Ben Maron's too. This hour, we are talking about the future of the newspaper with Jim Boffman, who is with the Department of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Also joining us now is Dave Zweifel, who is Editor Emeritus of the Capital Times in Madison. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Joy.
So when will the Capital Times become primarily an online paper?
At the end of April. Our last print daily edition will be on April 26th, which is a Saturday. And then that following week, we will be entirely online 7 days a week, and with a couple of weekly publications, one a very heavy public affairs kind of weekly on Wednesdays, heavy on news analysis and particularly local news analysis and investigative journalism, plus our bevy of columnists and commentary that Cap Times has been known for.
Yeah, and the other one.
And the other one on Thursdays will be an entertainment package that will take the place of what we currently call Rhythm, which runs in both the State Journal and the Cap Times. It'll be a Capital Times publication produced by our staff, and it will be a pretty expanded version of lifestyle and entertainment and the things that are fun and interesting to do here in Madison.
Yeah. Why is this happening, Dave?
Well, I think we realized here several months ago that we needed to make a decision on our future. And we're an afternoon newspaper, and, of course, most of the afternoon newspapers have gone away a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And because of our unique situation, ownership situation here in Madison, where we actually own half of the publishing company, Madison Newspapers. We've been able to, you know, keep our voice alive and to keep the newspaper alive, despite the fact that circulation, like it had been for most afternoon papers, had been declining rapidly over the past, especially during the past 10 to 15 years. So we thought, well, we can keep doing what we've been doing and continue to have our circulation erode and eventually be talking to ourselves. And this isn't what we felt our founder wanted to do with the Cap Times when he founded back in 1917 for the sole purpose of promoting the progressive movement here in the state. And so we were going to continue to do that. We had to figure out a different way, and we weren't about to let it die. And so consequently, we embarked on this plan here to go online where the technology is leading us and where many of the readers have gone, particularly the younger generations, and then do this pretty strong weekly that can bolster our online presence So that's essentially the way we did it.
Yeah. How popular is the online version of the Capital Times?
Well, it's quite amazing. I've written a couple columns about how we're blown away often by the amount of response that we get online. I'll get much more response to the columns I write or to some of the stories we do from our online audience than we do from the print audience. First of all, it's easier, obviously, to interact online, but there are people, there are a lot of eyes looking at the online version, and what we're doing and what we've been doing the past couple 3 years is we've devoted some resources to online, but very minimal, and consequently, we feel that if we put the entire newsroom behind that effort, we can bolster what the site is, what it means to people, what it can do for people, and really, you know, reach an audience that we've never been able to reach before.
Yeah, I wanted to get Professor Boffman also to talk a little bit about the number of communities that used to have two daily papers with different editorial voices that no longer do.
This right.
Is...
Good morning, Dave. Good mm-hmm. morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, it's you know, this trend predates Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the second or afternoon paper began closing in markets around the country. And the trend accelerated after World War II. But Dave, you may not even know this. The trend actually began before World War II. Is when a lot of smaller cities and towns closed, had their second newspaper shut down.
Uh-huh.
Texas, for example, has not had competing dailies since 1995.
Really?
Yeah. It's the numbers on this are really just staggering when you look at them.
Yeah. I'm wondering, I was at a function the other night, on Friday night, in fact, and a number of people, Dave, were bemoaning this development, saying they didn't think that they would relish sitting down by the computer and perusing the paper as, you know, they wanted to be in their comfy chair in the living room with the paper on their lap. And they said they described themselves as old guys who aren't going to be, aren't going to be online.
I'm one of them. Yeah, absolutely, and Dre, I think I've heard from all of them.
Yeah,
these last few days. I mean, I have been getting a lot of phone calls and very heartfelt phone calls, and I don't think anybody feels more badly about this development than those of us, you know, who've been at the Cap Times for a long time, because it is going to be losing a friend in that print edition. I'm sitting in my easy chair here at home right now, and where I've got a stack of papers next to me, and this is the way I spend my free time, and a lot of people do that. But as technology rolls on, and I know nobody ever said that progress was always good, but I think we have to embrace it if we're going to survive. I think that as we proceed here, the new gadgets that they're developing to read a newspaper, to read a book or whatever, using computer-like devices, may very well evolve into being able to sit on your easy chair and read that paper, but it will be in a different format than on paper itself.
Joy, Dave, may I jump in just for
mm-hmm.
a second? One thing I've noticed, Dave, that again I think would surprise you. Now in your free time, you'll have to come on campus and have lunch with me. You can walk over to the Union. You'll see something you never saw when you were an undergraduate or when I was an undergraduate. You'll see students using their laptop while they're eating. They're not reading a newspaper. They have their laptops open.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see it at the coffee shops.
Yeah.
You know, people are drinking coffee and having their laptops
but
open.
But I think the clincher for me was yesterday morning. I was riding the number 3 bus in Madison. A rather large man was on the bus with his laptop open, reading something. I didn't think to look, but that portability thing is mm-hmm. I think very critical to your business and to figuring out, you know, how to reach people.
Absolutely, yeah, and they are developing devices like that now. I know at the Newspaper Editors Convention a couple of years ago, Bill Gates and Sulzberger from the New York Times. We're showing this new tablet-like device that they, which they had hoped to put the New York Times on, and in fact are doing so today.
Yeah. Let me invite listeners to join us. I'm wondering what you think about this development and whether or not you view this as a trend, whether you welcome it or are saddened by it, that more newspapers seem to be putting more resources into their online versions, and some newspapers, like the Capital Times and Madison, will be ceasing daily publication of the paper version of the paper. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm thinking, Dave and Jim, that there's a benefit to being online in that you can update stories continually, just like cable news has taken a bite out of that nightly news broadcast on television, because people can get these updates all day long. They don't have to just have the one newscast or the one newspaper.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't think there's anything in our business, in the newspaper business, than to have a deadline of, say, 12 o'clock, and then a big story happens at 1:30, and the frustration is you can't do anything now for the next 24 hours is that will be gone when you're online. In fact, we do that this very day. We start putting stories up early in the morning now. We're not necessarily hamstrung by an artificial deadline, and we can update stories or new developments, add paragraphs when significant things happen. The flexibility is immense, and probably one of the reasons that more people are going online and staying up to date that way.
Yeah, we do have callers. Paul in Green Bay joins us first. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I think, first of all, that a lot of the conservative talking heads would say that the demise of newspapers is due to the message in the paper, and I just think that that's a bunch of baloney myself. But I think it's the convergence of lifestyle and technology that is going to be bringing about the change to newspapers. I think there's going to be convergence of the online and the paper technology. And the thing that I wanted to bring up was a reference to the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise, where he was on a subway train reading what looked like the USA Today newspaper, but it looked like a plastic Perkins menu, and it was changing. The content was changing right in front of his eyes as he was reading it. So I think that if we get to the point where we've got actual newspapers like that, not unlike the tablet item that Bill Gates was talking about, this is something that you could still hold in your hands like a newspaper, and it would probably put the delivery people out of business, but I think that might be the future of the newspaper.
We only have 30 seconds before our newscast, and since Dave Zweifel, we only scheduled you till the newscast. Any reaction to that? Is that where the Cap Times is going?
Yes, I think that's going to be a key, and I'm sure there are people working on this as we speak. The computer geeks out there are figuring out ways to make that newspaper feel more like a newspaper.
Yeah.
And I hope we're there at the forefront. So.
Dave Zweifel, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Professor Jim Boffman will continue with us after the news. Good morning. It's 6:36. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Tuesday, February the 19th, primary election day. Talking this hour about the future of the newspaper. Following the news that Madison's Capital Times, Madison's Afternoon Daily, is not going to be a daily anymore, at least not a printed version. There will be a printed version of the paper twice a week starting later this spring, but most of the news coverage and staff will be devoted to an online publication of the Capital Times. We wonder if you get more of your news on the web now anyway. Is this a big deal or not? Do you usually read a printed paper, or are you no longer getting a paper delivered to the porch? We're talking about the future of the newspaper with Jim Boffman. He's a professor and
the director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communications at UW-Madison, and we welcome your questions and your reactions to this trend, wondering if this is more than a trend. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Is the paper version of the newspaper becoming a thing of the past? Professor Boffman, we heard from a caller just before news time who was envisioning a day when we would have something in our hands that would be a constantly changing electronic version of a newspaper. Do you see that day coming?
Well, that could be possible. I'm not sure how good a futurologist I am, and I can say a lot of people have misread the future when it comes to the communication industry. When the Capital Times created what then became Madison Newspapers with Wisconsin State Journal, 1948, the conventional wisdom was that the afternoon paper was the more profitable operation, and that was where the money was to be made. I mean, everyone said that. So we want to be careful what we think the future tells us.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, we just saw the Capital Times celebrating its 90th anniversary
a short time ago.
Yeah. Lots of fanfare, and then this.
Right, right. Aside from that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
We'll take another call and go to Jeremy in Madison. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just had a comment about this handheld portability issue. I'm a younger reader in my early 30s, and I actually still prefer to sit down with a paper newspaper as well. But when my 65-year-old dad came over to my house last week and was reading the newspaper on his iPhone, and I looked at it, I was just amazed at the interface that it had. It's pretty sad my dad's teaching me this, but, I really think that after seeing that, it really is the future. I think the Capital Times is probably jumping on board on something that every newspaper is eventually going to do. When you talk about Minority Report and these other tablets and these other issues, I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to have better interfaces where you can still sit down on your chair and not only read the newspaper, but also surf the internet with other issues related to whatever you're reading. So,
mm-hmm.
Jeremy, I hope you're right about that. But here's the thing that worries me a little bit. I could never convert my dad to the PC, and he was a smart man, and he could. I could never get him to switch over. And there are a lot of older people who are, while they have the technological capability and the income, aren't making the transition. So I'm worried about a subgroup of elderly Americans who aren't online and aren't going to go online. And then a second category of people who are just poor or maybe just cranky, and mm-hmm. they just don't adapt to technology. There was a point 100 years ago when virtually every American read a newspaper. The one worry I have about the internet is that it doesn't have the same diffusion rate. Again, it's not a question of cost now so much as I think just mentality or sensibility. We have some cost affects some consumers, but you do have some elderly Americans who just they're like a grouchy person in a New Yorker cartoon. They won't take it up.
Yeah. Well, you'd also mentioned in our first segment, though, that young people aren't doing a whole lot of newspaper reading like Jeremy says he is, even online.
Right. Yeah. They're not necessarily looking at news sites or the news sites that you and I might sanction. The holy sites that you're supposed to look at every morning, the fruits and vegetable sites.
Yeah, and that's because they're boring or
well, they're just not they're disengaged. I will say David Carr had a very interesting column in yesterday's New York Times, suggesting that maybe young people will consume the news more than we realize it. They just haven't had a cause to, and he was citing Obama's campaign as an inspiration for a lot of younger consumers. I've been skeptical of that because I'm just getting old and cranky, but there's some good data to support that assertion, and I recommend Mr. Carr's column to people who are concerned about that issue.
Yeah. thanks to Jeremy. Mark in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Now, you just brought up a couple other issues. But, my thing is, my wife and I both have laptops and cell phones. I mean, we get news from all over the country, all over the world, and the thing I like is it's updated by minutes.
Yes.
And the stuff that I read now, like I could read it in 5 minutes from now, it'll be in print tomorrow. Well, I've already read that, so
yeah.
It's like, okay, I saw that already, never mind. Another thing is our fast-paced society. You know, it's just, like I said, what is in print is I've already viewed it online. And then another issue, the environmental. There'll be less trees to cut down, less paper. I mean, look at the amount of paper that's in our environment that is, like, crazy. And then you said about the old cranky people. Well, I'm in a big family. I'm 52 on the low end. My oldest brother is 73 or whatever the heck he is. All of my brothers and sisters of 10 have computers.
Wow.
So, and I do know older people, well, older, 60, that have just starting to get computers, like the wife, the one person I know, wife. I mean, she's, like, totally illiterate with a computer. But then I also had younger daughters that we started computers in 1980s. I mean, they're so fast on the computers, it's like they blow me away.
Right.
And
okay.
They both do nukes and all that.
Well, yeah. Mark, yeah. No, Mark, I think the story, and I'm surprised when I do public service talks to older, I mean, older than you and I are, because you and I are about the same, we probably remember the same TV shows growing up, is that how many older people are online. But I'm just saying there's a subgroup that are not, that are holdouts, and I'm worried about them. I don't know. You know, we have to look at the raw. We have to look at the data for the entire population, and not generalize from our families or friends, because this is a mistake academics often make. You know, that they'll or journalists make. They generalize from each other, and I want to see 5 years from now what percent of American homes do not have computer access, and for whatever reason, whether it's income or age. I want to see that, and because as an American, I want to make sure we all have access to the same information. I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark, for the call. We're going to check our weather forecast once again, and then we will also be welcoming in another guest to get another perspective on this issue, on the state of newspapers today, the future of the newspaper, whether or not the future of the newspaper is online, on the World Wide Web, whether the paper newspaper is going out of business. Our discussion is prompted by the news from Madison's Capital Times, which recently announced it is going to cease daily publication of the printed paper. It will still have two printed editions a week, one on current affairs and one on entertainment. But in April, later this spring, it's going to be going online and ceasing being a daily printed newspaper. What do you think of this? Does this trouble you, or is this progress? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, about 14 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 19th. Coming up after 7, well, according to some, superdelegates could determine the Democratic presidential nominee. After 7 on this primary election day, we will talk with a superdelegate, U.S. Representative Ron Kind, who represents Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, who is calling for an end to the superdelegate system and who is vowing to cast his superdelegate vote for the candidate who is victorious in the 3rd Congressional District. So we'll talk to him about some of the reforms he'd like to see coming up in our next hour. Right now we're talking about the state of newspapers, the future of newspapers, with Jim Boffman, who is a professor and director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. And joining us this segment of the program, Peter Fox, executive director of the Wisconsin Newspaper Association. Good morning, Peter Fox.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Peter.
So, Peter Fox, what is your reaction, your analysis of this news from the Capital Times that it's going to cease its everyday publication?
Well, it actually won't cease its everyday publication.
Well, it's going to have the two weeklies, yes.
Well, then it's also going to have an everyday publication on the web. And I think that's important to underscore. As I see it, the Capital Times is one of the herd breaking loose to cut a new trail. And the Cap Times has always been known as a gutsy, independent, a locally focused newspaper. I see, frankly, I see that continuing with the new mode that they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Oh, yeah, and certainly we'd, I don't know why we're getting all that feedback. I apologize for that. Certainly, we have been focusing on the fact that it's going online rather than doing a daily paper or print publication. Is this something that more and more newspapers are looking at, their online presence?
Well, yes, they are, and they're using that online presence in many different manifestations. And what the Cap Times is doing is just another variance. I think it's important to understand that newspapers and their operation and how they serve their readership, both their content, their news content readership, and their advertising content readership, so on and so forth, do it in different ways. In the suburban Milwaukee area, for example, the venerable CNI newspapers, Community Newspapers Incorporated, which are now owned by the, and has been for years, the Journal Community Publishing Group, have gone to an online, and 19 individual community papers were regrouped to 8 community papers that are largely online, but they also now have a weekly print component. So newspapers certainly don't march along in unison. Some of them march to the beat of a different accordion, you know, and I think that's what the Cap Times is doing. But all over the country you see variances on how newspapers are serving their readership and their advertising customers. We don't know where it's going to go because it's forever changing. I was in the newsroom years ago when we were terrified by the advent of sheet-fed fax machines. We thought that that people would start to receive their newspapers at home every morning from a fax machine.
Wow.
It is ridiculous as it sounds. We were actively planning against that type of a strategy.
Yeah.
But I think Peter's making a point. George Stanley, a managing editor of the Journal Sentinel, told a group of us recently that the sports departments at major papers were sure televising games was going to destroy sports journalism. Well, it hasn't. It's changed it. But Journal Sentinel is a larger sports section now than it did 40 years ago when people began watching, you know, games on TV. So the futurologists can be wrong. They're sort of like your stockbroker or a soothsayer you might meet on State Street. They're not infallible.
And it also speaks to the variety of ways that people receive information.
Yes.
I am alarmed, frankly. There was a national study that was done by the Endowment for the Humanities in 2007 that talked about the general decline in just general reading among the nation's population, particularly young people.
Yeah.
You commented earlier about the young people not reading hard copy newspapers so much, but they're not reading books, they're not reading news magazines, and there's some real serious implications in terms of civic life, social life, just general knowledge. I'm also concerned about the number of people of whatever age that are not reading critically, that is, in evaluating the information they're receiving, but if it was on the Internet, taking that and running with it as if it's gospel.
We have lots of callers who want to chime in. Michelle in Madison is with us now. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my phone call. I'm very happy to speak up on this issue. I'm apparently maybe a small demographic, but I think an important demographic. I'm in my early 40s. Like a lot of people, I work on a computer. Actually, I'm a doctor. I work on a software platform that has me online all day long. And honestly, the last thing I want to do at the end of the day is to spend more time on a computer. And I think this call for the trend, you know, that the trend is the online format is really a missed call. Another example I'll give at a different lifestyle level is I'm now having milk delivered to my door. Nobody thought that was a great idea 10 years ago, but I'm actually really happy about it. So I don't know who did the focus groups with which demographic, but they didn't hit my demographic.
Yeah. Peter Fox?
Well, it's not only about readership. A newspaper in the United States depend on advertising, and I think that there was a unique situation here in Madison with the joint operating agreement between the State Journal and the Capital Times. There are so many advertising dollars to go around, and an advertiser faced with the decision of, do I want to advertise in the State Journal or in the Capital Times? They look at the demographics of the readership, and they say, well, I can afford to pay this much, but I don't want to pay that much more. So I think that there was some issue. I do not know the specifics of it, but I would imagine, having been in the profession for more than 30 years, that there was an aspect of advertising support that was involved here too. And as Dave or Jim, one of them said earlier, when the agreement came together, everyone really thought the State Journal was going to be the one that was going to die.
Right, right.
Our demographics
changed. That was me, Peter, by the way. That was me.
Yeah, another brilliant insight, Jim.
Yes, that's what I'm here for.
Demographics changed. Our lifestyles changed, and now evening newspapers are fading away, but in great part due to advertising reasons. Advertisers want their messages to be received by readers earlier in the day. There's a longer shelf life for an AM newspaper. So part of it is not only the readership component, but the advertising component.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a sensible strategic move on the part of the Capital Times to continue to have a newsprint component while taking advantage of those people who use the internet, and there are many people, not quite like Michelle, but there are many people who exclusively are going to online.
Right.
But that's the beauty of our society. Every form of communication, whether it's radio, television, the internet, news magazines, newspapers, they're all valuable. To me, a sensible person would want to use as many different media as possible to inform him or herself rather than relying on just one mode.
Let's go to Mark in Greenwood. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm kind of surprised, too, kind of like your last caller. I wouldn't consider myself old, and I'm certainly not grouchy, but I have no use for technology. You know, I use the internet and the computer for work, but that's it. The least I need to use the computer, the better. I'm a purist, I guess. I'd rather have the paper book in my hand, the paper newspaper in my hand, and just I'm fine with that. I don't need all the internet and the iPods and all that stuff. And I don't think I'm alone in my age group at age 35.
Right, so he's not old and not grouchy, Professor Bothman.
Well, yeah, as I say, this is one of the things that the business industry is going to have to figure out. If it does go to an online presence, how do you reach those people that aren't doing it? And it'll be an interesting problem. And then again, that I hate to put it this way, to what extent do you care about that? Those sort of lost readers, but yeah. It'll be an interesting, as I say, nothing else will be an interesting time for the business.
It sure will, and I see Peter Fox in our remaining moments here that the Wisconsin Newspapers Association is holding a convention soon, later this month. Newspapers for Tomorrow, and what will that be?
Well, actually, Joy, that news must have come in on Pony Express because we had the convention 2 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's quite all right. But what we did, we talked about such things as this. Dave's announcement came out after the convention, but nonetheless, a lot of our convention focused on serving the variety of readers out there in the variety of ways they want to receive information. And yes, it's true, there will be people who have had a great pleasure every evening picking up the Capital Times and reading it in their evening chair. My wife and I do that right now, and we enjoy it a great deal. But there's also a surge of some people, not all people, but some people who enjoy and need and require the Internet presence. So I think this is the newspaper industry looking for ways to serve as many people as possible and continuing to provide a local flavor on the news. I think this might set the Cap Times newsroom free to do some new and different things.
All right. Peter Fox, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Jim Boffman, thank you very much, too.
My pleasure, Joy.
Jim Boffman, professor and director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communications at UW-Madison. Peter Fox, executive director of the Wisconsin Newspaper Association. We also heard this hour from Dave Zweifel, editor emeritus at the Capital Times. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.